Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 6 minutes past 12 midday. The Man in Line is in session till 1 o'clock. Something on your mind, you call 66 13 68, have your say. You can also text 166177 on the SMS or email studio@manxradio.com. There have been 43,527 tests taken on the Isle of Man so far. 236 people are awaiting a test today. Not quite so crowded on Glencrutchery Road. 17 new cases of coronavirus announced yesterday afternoon, and that's 858 active cases of the disease on the Isle of Man. Hospital admissions number 16, and two people are in ICU. And on the vaccination dashboard, it's showing 28,577 first dose administered, 13,528 second dose administered, a total of 42,164. And we're currently holding 15,550 shots of vaccine in stock. If you're off for a vaccine today, then I wish you well. Hope all goes well for you. Lots of comment in already on the Man in Line, lots of messages and emails. And I'll just get to a couple first of all. And says, I know a family who've all recently tested positive. Second test. One member's been allowed out of isolation today, and the other two on different days. Their tests weren't all on the same day. This has been advised by 111, says this correspondent. Can somebody clarify? There must be a logical answer, because on the surface, to me, it just seems insane, says Texter 980. And a message in that just says, what are the actual rules on essential travel and essential work at the moment? As a father, my children are constantly showing me images they've received from friends with their parents in places like Port St Mary, Laxey Beach, Peel Beach. And all these children and families live in Douglas. I'm then asked by the children, why can't we go to Peel or Laxey? Because their friends and families say it's essential exercise. I think it's confusing. So can we ask and get a question, get an answer from the government as to what is essential travel and how far are you allowed to go for the exercise that you're allowed to take as well? There was a problem this morning, lots of people asking about ManxNet. There was a problem, Manx Telecom flagged up a problem on ManxNet. If you're on ManxNet, stuff may be delayed getting through to you today. A message said, why on earth have we got 100 bus drivers on the Isle of Man? Most of the time, they run empty at normal times. The only time I see them busy are at school times. 8 tested positive, 40 off. Crikey. Well, that's the situation it is. If you have buses, they have to be able to cope with the busiest times, and for that you have to have drivers. They're not all on the same type of contract, I believe. Elizabeth on the Man in Line. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. You may remember some time ago I rang you regarding the amount of stones on the beach, and I did suggest instead of quarrying stone, they would take the stones from the beach and use them for, like, on the lay when they're doing, instead of putting quarry stones down, put the stones on the beach down. I went down for a walk. I was for a walk on Saturday down the prom. I noticed the stones have all gone. I'd like to know, have they taken on board my suggestion?
Whereabouts? Which promenade?
Oh, the Douglas Promenade.
And they've moved. Whereabouts have the stones moved from? Which area of the prom?
Most all the way. All the way, as far as I could tell. All the way from, like, the corner house right down to the... I walked down as far as the casino, I think it was, round about down there. And then there was a tractor fella there digging, taking the sand and taking it away from the wall. Because if you may remember, at one stage, the beach was higher than the walkway, you know?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a tractor there, fella, and he was taking, grabbing all the sand, pulling it back. And then he was actually taking some of it and taking it down to the sea edge and dumping it back in the sea.
That's a great job, isn't it? You've got a job for life doing that.
Yeah. The same as to take the seaweed down and it just comes back up again. What a waste of money paying somebody to take the seaweed down just to have it come back up again. Well, I would like if somebody would come on, council or whoever is doing it, and ask, what have they done with the stones? Because if you go down there now, there is a drop from the walkway down to the beach, whereas before it was flush. So I want to know what they've done with all the stones.
Okay. Thanks, Elizabeth.
If they've used my idea, I want a consultation fee.
I'll put you down for it. We'll split it. It's 12 minutes past 12. So what's happened to the stones on the beach in Douglas Promenade? And we did get to the bottom of why the groins have gone. The groins disappeared. And we don't quite know whether the groins are going to reappear. It's all to do with a cross-shore drift of what's happening to the beach in Douglas and the fact it's getting higher and higher and higher, whereas years and years ago you had to go down 10, 12 steps to get from the level of the promenade down to the beach itself, but it's just come up and up and up. But we'll reiterate that with the groins when we can finally track down Mr. Christian, the policy and resources man, the head of Douglas Corporation. Just it'd be nice to get Mr. Christian on the man in line, don't you think, just to chat about a few things. He's been very vocal in the past about the fact he finds some of the unbuilt areas in Douglas, well, he called them a war zone. He called them, they were like bomb sites, he said. So it'll be interesting to see when we come out of this COVID lockdown, what Douglas Corporation's plans are for the future to revitalise. Who has been joyriding on the buses?
Obviously, I've asked to ensure that they are receiving PPE equipment, and I'm told the shields are up on the buses. They're provided with hand-washing gel, gloves, masks, and that the bus they drive is the one they have all day, so they don't chop and change. But really, it's also asking people not to go on the buses unless you really need to go on. I'm getting complaints about people going joyriding on the buses like you would in a normal time. Now, that's fine in a normal time when we haven't got COVID, but going on the buses for out sightseeing in the day, that's putting our bus drivers at risk and putting the island at risk. So I would ask people to respect our bus drivers by A, making sure they wear a face mask when they go on board, pay with contactless cards, so it's reducing the risk to our bus drivers. But anything that we can do from a safety procedure to ensure our bus drivers are protected, then I do expect our Department of Infrastructure to provide that support.
Is that true? Are people actually joyriding on buses? Are people hopping on a bus and riding around because they got nothing else to do, or that's how they want to spend their time? I wonder if you've spotted this, if it's something that you've been witness to, or indeed if you're a bus driver, if you've spotted people doing this on your bus, how do we do that? A note in just to say, by admitting that the government, and actually yesterday, you don't remember, the chief minister said, we can't police this properly, talking about how you stop people. Well, they've warned 80-odd people for breaking the lockdown. But Howard just said, another Howard, by admitting they can't police and therefore enforce bubbles, the government has opened the door to further abuse. A significant number of individuals can't be trusted. Therefore, we get unexplained cases. Now, if people are caught abusing the rules, what happens if they then play the mental health card? That's a message in from Howard. We're now in lockdown three. It's day 21. I don't want to ruin your day, but when this lockdown started, today would have been the last day. Tomorrow it would have all been over, and now it's not. We've been extended. We're into extra time. Just hope we don't go to penalties now. Let me see, Eddie with us. Hello, Eddie.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon. Regarding the current COVID environment here, we seem to have got ourselves into a catch-22 situation, really. We need to be clear of COVID to open the borders, but to open the borders means inevitably the virus will come back. I mean, we can't keep continually going in and out of lockdown. And the virus isn't just going to disappear. So mitigation as they are saying now, or living with it is what we'll have to do. Now, governments worldwide, including ours here, have forged ahead with vaccination programs. And laudable though they are not the so-called silver bullet. Our health minister has even repeatedly said the vaccine does not prevent you contracting the disease or spreading it, but it significantly reduces the effects of it. However, there is hope, and it's in the shape of a repurposed drug. That is a drug that's used for some other condition which has been found to be extremely effective against COVID. That drug is ivermectin. Now, this drug was introduced worldwide in 1975 to treat parasitic infections in people and animals. Since then, it's been used extensively. There have been 3.7 billion doses given to humans, and it's used annually in agriculture. In fact, most farmers on the island will use it. It's prescribed by doctors for various infections. I think scabies is one of them here on the island. And so successful is this drug that was began in 1975 that was awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2015.
Where did you hear about this, Eddie?
Well, I'm just coming to that. There is last April when COVID began to spread at Monash University in Australia, they began to look for treatment and found that ivermectin in the laboratory destroyed the virus. They then began testing it, and soon across the world it's being used with dramatic results. And there's now a dedicated team of doctors and physicians working worldwide doing proper tests and trials, and that team is called the FLCCC, which stands for Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Now, I'd recommend anyone to look at this up on Google or YouTube. It's not a fringe organization. It's not peddling snake oil. And it's headed by very top professional doctors and physicians, including, actually, a gentleman called Dr. Andrew Hill from Liverpool University. I don't want to go into too many of the details because if you go on the website, there's copious information. But there's also some startling results on the website and on YouTube. So again, it's flccc.net.
Okay. And Eddie, I mean, are you a lay person or do you have professional qualifications? What led you to find ivermectin?
What led me? Well, because we lived in the Southern Hemisphere for a while, I still have contacts down there, and I've been looking at some of their news items, and this came up in, I think, April or May, that the original chap who looked at this was, I think his name was Dr. Bradby, something like that. And but he couldn't get any traction with it at all. The WHO didn't seem to be interested, but he's persisted, and now it's got into the United States, and this organization there is very up with it. And but what I'm trying to ring about is regarding the situation on the island and this problem with isolating, and so many people we've got isolating now. Now, if you go on the website, the FLCCC will recommend that any person who's found to be COVID positive, they must isolate. But they take ivermectin on the first day, and then on day three, and by day five, they are negative. They also recommend that the immediate family close contacts all take half a dose of ivermectin, and they have said none of these will become positive. Now, the advantages of this could be significant. So I'd ask everyone to look at this, particularly the media, and ask the questions as to why they're not even considering it.
And you reckon this is already used by vets on the island?
Not just by vets, it's used by doctors. It's a human medicine, but they also use it in an agricultural sense too. I'm an ex-farmer, so I used it myself on a farm. It's an anti-parasitic drug.
Well, crikey, Eddie, we've learned something new today. Ivermectin. I've never heard of that before today.
Well, do you have a pet? Do you have a dog or a cat?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, if you do and it gets worms, they dose it with ivermectin.
Right.
The agricultural product is not as pure as the one that's designed for humans. It was originally brought out to combat a lot of the parasitic infections which are in sub-Saharan Africa. And one of them was called river blindness. And this drug has practically eliminated that. So, but they found by accident that it actually attacks COVID too, and quite dramatically.
Okay, Eddie.
And there's virtually no side effects because they've done all the things, but nobody seems to be taking any notice. But I would like people to look at the website flccc.net.
All right, thanks for bringing that to our attention today, Eddie. The case, the drug, the agent, ivermectin, is Juan now. Hello, Juan.
How are you, Andy? Is Juan or Peter? I think it's Peter from last week now, isn't it? Devastating news this weekend, Andy. The Easter Bunny train's not working. I'm really devastated. I had a seat next to you on it, and I don't know what we're going to do now.
Eat eggs, self-isolating.
How's the sandwich trail today up there? I've not heard any reports. Is it still going well, or have we swapped onto McDonald's now?
No. Let me look outside. Oh, yeah, there quite a few. And actually, last night when I left the radio station about 8 o'clock, there were two mobile homes.
Enjoying the beautiful views of the Isle of Man their own bubble.
In the dark.
What harm can anyone do? I'm just going to touch briefly on what Eddie's just been on about there. I've been following this ivermectin thing for a little while now. I've had friends that's just come back from Miami. And they know people down there who private doctors who are treating very, very wealthy people in South America with ivermectin. So Eddie's quite right. And the answer to the big question is why it's not being put out there to the public is probably because there's no money in it. And that's what this is all about at the end of the day. This vaccination trail, all you've got to do is follow the money with everything. And you find out the truth eventually. It's just that I keep saying people live in fear and people live with exactly what they're told because they think that the World Health Organization is telling everyone the truth. So you'd have to just follow the money trail behind who provides the money to all these people. And you find out where everything is. But ivermectin, yeah, like hydrochloroquine had a use, but they certainly revoked that when Trump said something about it. But I'll definitely back Eddie in what he's saying.
Okay. What else is on your mind?
Oh, it's unlike me to have anything else on my mind, isn't it? What have we got on today? It's a special Memorial Day today. Is it light a candle tonight?
In the UK, yes, I think the UK had a minute's silence for their marking their 1 year anniversary. But
marking the 1 year anniversary, isn't that a bit sad, isn't it? Marking a 1 year anniversary, and I suppose we should light a candle for all the people that's died alone over the last 12 months, and from non-operations and from cancer. And all that other stuff as well. I think we should light a candle for all them people as well that can't get the treatment that they've wanted to get for the last 12 months. And remember also the actual significant amount of people that have died from COVID and not with COVID. As the report said today, I think the English report, remembering was 100 and whatever thousand people that's died with COVID. A very important word in that the media use and the government use these days. People should be aware of the wording in all this stuff.
Thanks for being with us, Juan.
Thanks, Andy. Take
25 past 12.
It's Tony, but the health minister's just been on and said you can't vaccinate key people because they can still catch the virus after the first dose. He has probably 10,000 doses sitting doing nothing because he's got 10-week versus 12-week. He could quite easily go ahead and use some of those doses to vaccinate those people on the basis that you can then test them once a week. And that would then negate any issue of them having the virus and carrying it. It takes 14 days for it to develop. So he's not thinking out the box. As usual, it's, I'll stick to what I've said because you guys don't know anything. So I just think he needs to start looking beyond what he says is the plan, because the plan is obviously not working very well.
In response to the comments about joyriding on buses, when a passenger boards the bus in Onchan, travels to Port Erin, we arrive, and then the passenger doesn't get off, only to ask me, are you returning to Douglas, driver? The issue is that he's on my bus for over 2 hours, and it's the length of time I'm exposed to the possible virus, says Jeff. This is a passenger who got on the bus at Onchan, travelled to Port Erin, sat there and just came back as well. Now, is that joyriding or is that a legitimate bus journey as well? Some notes in, just to say, yesterday people were generalising that it was all the young people taking, breaking the rules. It's not. I'm 14 years old. And I always make sure when I'm out that I'm socially distanced, haven't seen any of my friends for 3 weeks. Stop generalising. It's not young people. It's only a minority of people. They moved the seaweed on Douglas Beach to kill the fly eggs, apparently. If they didn't do this, there'd be swarms of flies in the good weather.
When it comes to home maintenance and building work, how many times have you been let down? Then try
loveyourhome.im.
Love Your Home offer everything from routine home maintenance to major building projects. So if you've a leaky tap or need a new bathroom, get in touch through the free user-friendly Love Your Home app or our website. With fast response, free quotations, reliable workmanship and the flexible option of pay per job or by an annual maintenance agreement. Your home loved by our family.
Love Your Home.
New pension legislation allows greater pension freedom for Manx residents. Come and talk to Blackford Financial Services. We'll give you information about your specific pension options and how this may affect your retirement planning. To find out more and to arrange a no-obligation chat about your pension arrangements, call Blackford Financial Services on 627 674 or visit online at blackfords.im. Blackford's. Retirement planning made easy.
For the time being, Pascos are closing our doors to keep in line with current government regulations and to protect all our customers and our team. But don't worry, we're still here for urgent replacements and can carry out contactless doorstep deliveries. Just leave a message on the showroom answer machine at 676066 or email pascos@manx.net. And as soon as we're able to reopen, Pascos will be ready to welcome you back in store. Stay safe from all of us at Pascos of Tremode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
I love my wood-burning stove, and I want it to last. Thank goodness, then, for the Snug in Ramsey. Their kiln-dried wood is brilliant. So easy to light, proper hot, and no more dirty glass. You can even join their wood bank, meaning you benefit from bulk buy savings, but they sort the storage. With its roaring blaze, kiln-fired wood gets the best from my stove and keeps me toasty to boot. Call the Snug now on 818 187. Warming the heart of Ireland homes for 10 years.
This September, the Isle of Man will go to the polls for the 2021 general election. And from today, you can find out what you need to know on Manx Radio's election website. In the next few months, this will be the go-to place to find out everything from who's standing for election and why to how and where you vote. For those interested in standing for election, how do you do that? Find out on Manx Radio's election website. And if you have a question you want to put to prospective MHKs, let us know by clicking on the I Wish You'd Ask tab. This is your website for your general election. Follow the link on manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
This is Vivian Crane from chairman of the Municipal Association, and I'm also part of the Lazer Parish Commissioners. I would like to talk to somebody about the local elections. You keep on talking about the MHK's election, but you haven't said anything about the local authority election.
We've got the full details, Vivian. There's no official new date yet for the local elections. Obviously, there is a date for the general election in September of this year. Now, the local elections have been put back twice last year and earlier on this year. What's going to be the 22nd of April, of course. Provisionally now, in government, they've said the 22nd of July as the new date for local elections. Then it was said to be a date after the 20th of July. The minister will try and run the election on the 22nd of July, they say, but that isn't set in stone yet. And as soon as we know when the local elections are going to be held, because the councillors are in extra time, the commissioners are in extra time, doing longer stints than they were planned to do. Some obviously will stay on and continue as commissioners and councillors. Some may not. Some may want to chip out. But the 22nd of July is the date we have, but it hasn't been officially confirmed. And once it is, we'll bring it to you. There was a doubt cast in the House of Keys this morning, and get this, about the single horse tramway. The single track horse tramway. Now, it's scheduled to go from the bottom of Broadway by the War Memorial to the Sea Terminal. Do you remember that? When they're doing the prom at the moment, it's dual tracked from Derby Castle to the War Memorial, but the plan was for a single track to go from the War Memorial, the bottom of Broadway, to the Sea Terminal. There was doubt cast in the Keys this morning as to whether that was included in the money voted by Tynwald for the original scheme, i.e., if they say it's going to go, the single track tramway from the War Memorial to the Sea Terminal, is the money there already? Doubt has been cast. Confusion reigned. Chris Robertshaw put the question to the Infrastructure Minister, the man in charge, Tim Baker.
Andy Wint, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The minister says that the final section of the horse tram from Broadway through to the Sea Terminal was taken out of scope. If we're being rational about this, then the budget that Tynwald had already voted for should have also been taken out of scope. As it wasn't, it must have been spent elsewhere. So effectively, asking Tynwald to vote the money again for that work means that it's not voting for where the money was actually spent. This is a very confusing situation because, as I clearly recall at the time, the work was delayed originally because the idea and the intention was to diminish the amount of work going on the promenade for the, what at that time was the hopefully going to be the current summer season. So this is a very confusing and most unsatisfactory position that Tynwald finds itself in having to vote for one item twice unnecessarily and not really getting a full analysis of the overspend in other areas.
Mr. Robertshaw's assertion is that the single tram extension was built into the budget in the first place that was approved by Tynwald. I'm not sure that that was actually the case. I would need to go back in history and look at what the information was that was that was in circulation in the public domain at that point in time. But I do recall, and we're going back a number of years now, I do recall that the extension of the horse tram track was a discrete addition to the scheme, and to what extent that was reflected in the financial budget or whether it was effectively laid on top of the sums that were already pledged, I cannot confirm, but I will do so.
Well, we'll have to find out. Was the money there for the single-track tramway from the War Memorial to the Sea Terminal, or wasn't it? I'm sure there was a briefing given where they almost said, yes, Tynwald needs to vote on it, but it's really just a case of rubber stamping. It will always go ahead. They've always said the single-track tramway will go from the War Memorial to the Sea Terminal at some point in the future. Now, they seem to suggest that the money isn't there. A note in from Anne who just said, Andy, I watched the stones being dragged down to the sea. They're dragging the stones down. And Mike with us on the Man in Line. Hello, Mike.
Faster, my... Just a quick word about traffic movements, Andy.
Yeah, whereabouts?
Oh, Point of Ayre. Yeah, I live at the back end of... I can see the lighthouse from here. I have actually spoken to you before. But on Sunday, I mean, I normally see probably 30, about 40 cars past my house. Most of those are local. On Sunday, I sat here and I thought there's an awful lot of traffic going on, and got pen and paper out. And from 1:30 until 4:00, there were 161 cars, 24 vans, 5 motorhomes, 11 motorbikes, and 34 bicycles.
You sat and watched that for 2.5 hours?
Yes, I did. I sit here for 16 hours a day looking out my window. I don't go out. I don't do anything.
So in 2.5 hours, 161 cars, 24 yep. vans, 5 yep. motorhomes, 11 motorbikes, 34 bicycles.
Yes. So why aren't these people sticking to the regulations that are going on? Where are they all going?
And what where are they coming from?
Precisely. I mean, in the top end Bride down here, there's there aren't that many houses, right? Farmhouses and the golf club and everything else, not a lot. Yeah? But all of these people driving past my house, yeah? If I'd done that from, I don't know, probably 10 o'clock in the morning, which when I started to notice the amount of traffic passing, yeah, I probably would have had 500, 700 cars.
My word. What do you think should happen then, Mike?
Well, they should have... The police should be out stopping people, asking them where they're going. They're not doing essential journeys.
Do you think, Mike, though, I mean, it's OK to say that, but imagine we're asking our police officers in 2021 to stop a vehicle for no other reason than to say, excuse me, sir, madam, what is the purpose of your journey?
Well, if they had enough policemen, yes, they should. I wouldn't object to being stopped saying, where are you going? Because the only times I go out is if I need to go to the shop. I don't go out any other time. I go out once a week. And the rest of the time I sit here looking out my kitchen window.
Will you be counting this Sunday?
I will probably be sitting there counting every day.
Mike, thanks for calling us today. It's good to hear from you. It's 21 minutes to one. Thank you, Michael, on The Man in Line today. If you want to get in touch, by all means, call 66 13 68. SMS message 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Here's Tony now on The Man in Line. Hello, Tony.
How you doing?
What's on your mind, Tony, now?
Right, just a quick one. Yesterday, I think it was, the chief medical officer turned round on radio and said, nobody knows what's going to happen going forward, which is rather surprising, since most of the world actually has got an idea what most of the rest of the world seems to have a good idea what's going to happen. Once you have all been vaccinated, people will still catch COVID-19 and there will be deaths. But there are already deaths from people who already have one of the many cold viruses, which every year we get a vaccination against. Hence, in September or August or October, you go to the doctor or you go to the pharmacy and get an injection against the prevalence of flu at the back end of the year. And that was what will happen with COVID. It will become part of the flu jabs. It's as simple as that. So I don't see why nobody knows what's going on. This is just speculation that is negative, and it shouldn't be out there from a chief medical officer. It should be a little bit more sensible, I would have thought.
Do you think, I mean, obviously, most of the things that we're doing now with hindsight, Tony, do you genuinely think most of them know that, the scientists and the medical people know what's going to happen?
I think they've got a good idea. I don't think they know exactly, but I think you've got a pretty good idea that historically, if you've had a flu pandemic before, then you vaccinate people. That's been going on for hundreds of years. It's not new. That happened in the 1800s. It happened in the 1930s, I think, in Scotland. It wasn't for flu, but it was for something else. But that's what they do. That's the norm. The issue here is this pandemic has been caused by the fact that people die from it very quickly. And it also causes major problems if you catch it and you've got a very poor immune system. But hopefully, going forward, we'll be in a situation within the next 3 or 4 months, certainly I think within 3 or 4 months, where the vast majority of people in the UK and over here will have had a vaccine. And therefore, the incidence will drop. So the panic that we're going to overflow the hospitals and everything else will disappear. And we can all go back to normal and accept the fact that you will get COVID in some people. And it will kill some people. But so does the flu every year. There's about 30,000 deaths a year from flu regularly, every year. There's not this year because nothing's been going on.
Okay. All right, Tony, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate it. Police are appealing for the identity of a woman amid an investigation into an incident on the 2nd of March. Police officers want to find and speak to the girl, shown in some CCTV footage. If you want to see the image, by the way, go to manxradio.com, click on the news page, scroll down, you'll see a photo there. And if you know the person involved, police are appealing for you to get in touch on 631212. This is a woman's identity is being sought amid an investigation into an incident on the 2nd of March. Just a note, Andy, what are the details about the mental health calls? 80 people have been officially warned for minor first-time breaches of COVID-19 regulations. New figures from the constabulary show that 17 people have been arrested. 3 fixed penalty notices have been issued. The data for the third current lockdown, lockdown 3, covers the period the 3rd of March to the 21st of March. 222 COVID-related calls have been made over the 18-day period, a little over 10 a day, that is, then. Stephen Maddox, the superintendent, says there seems to be a feeling from the public that the police aren't dealing with the breaches, but I can assure you that the constabulary investigates all reports made to us and take any suspected breach seriously. We haven't changed our policing approach from the past 2 lockdowns. They work on a system called the 4 E's. System, engage, explain, encourage, enforce. Get that? Engage, explain, encourage, enforce. Enforcement is usually the last option, but a clear and flagrant breach, such as a person who was COVID positive and went out in public, would immediately be arrested and dealt with. It's only minor breaches, which in essence are assessed as low-risk matters, where a person would receive an official warning. Police records these matters, and should a person make another breach, then a stricter approach is taken. The data released from the constabulary shows 16 calls were made in the last week to the emergency services joint control room, which related to mental health. 11 people have made threats of suicide. 1 person has attempted to take their own life. Now, officers from the police force, constabulary, say they would encourage anyone needing help to speak to a family member, a friend, or contact support agencies. I want to know whether the bubble system is working for you as well. Robert called in to say, can he bubble with his 90-year-old mother? Well, yes, that's the rule. You can, if it's a single person, you can bubble with another person. We've been hearing people complain about the bubble system. I just wonder whether you've started a bubble with somebody and how it's working for you.
The more contagious Kent variant of COVID-19 is circulating on the island, so the virus is now spreading more rapidly. You must stay at home as much as possible. If you have to go out, wear a face covering and observe social distancing. If you or anyone in your household has a high temperature, a new and persistent cough, changes in sense of taste or smell, or shortness of breath, you must self-isolate immediately and call 111. Visit gov.im/COVID-19 for updates.
Now is the perfect time to join Peel Golf Club. It's the friendly golf club with a wide range of affordable membership options to suit every golfer. We're confident we'll have a membership package to suit you. Non-members are also welcome with Peel Golf Club's pay-as-you-play option. Peel Golf Course is well maintained and has a thriving ladies section for information on membership and more. Search online for Peel Golf Club or email plgc@manx.net.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Oh, look, he's sleeping like a baby. He always sleeps well knowing we're fully covered by our Blackford & Company's car insurance policy.
They offer great value car and van insurance for all Isle of Man residents with internet prices, local service and advice, and help when you really need it. So call 832 042 today for a quotation or visit manxcover.com.
Think local, stay local. Think Blackford & Company for car and van insurance on 832 042.
Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
13 minutes before one, here's Stephen on the Man in Line. Hello, Stephen.
Hello there. Just in relation to Mr. Baker this morning talking about the horse trams terminating at the War Memorial, and it was a discreet add-on to put the horses to the full length of the prom, to the sea terminal. Mr. Baker must either have memory problems or he's a liar, or he hasn't read local history, because if anybody wants to investigate this, all they've got to do is Google Mr. Malarkey, who introduced the amendment to have the words War Memorial and to insert the word sea terminal over the debate on the horse trams. This is an absolute disgraceful suggestion by Mr. Baker or the DOI that it was a discreet add-on to have the horse trams terminate at the sea terminal. That was not the case at all. As I say, Mr. Malarkey, the late Mr. Malarkey, introduced that amendment and was successful with it. There was quite a lot of debate about it at the time. How on earth Mr. Baker can come along and now say it was a discreet add-on is just bizarre.
Do you get the feeling that I'm not naming Mr. Baker, I wouldn't say Mr. Baker, but there are politicians in general who simply don't want the horse trams to go to the sea terminal?
I think there's a number of politicians who don't understand heritage full stop. I don't think it's limited to the horse trams or the heritage railways. I think there's a number of politicians who don't understand the benefit of our heritage, our built heritage, at all. And I think that's the big problem. It's not just limited to the horse trams or any of our other facilities. They don't understand what we've got, and I don't think we'll ever get them to understand. There is, sadly, a narrative around the Isle of Man that heritage is not required, but unfortunately, heritage is what brings people to the island. That's all we've got now, is our built heritage and our heritage railways, in my view.
Okay. Stephen, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And Wilf now on the Man in Line. Wilf, good afternoon.
Yep. Hiya. Just something on joyriding on the buses.
Yeah.
I think if somebody looked into it, you might find that most of them are over 60. Now, when you become 60, you get a bus pass. Now, I've never bothered. I'm 77 now, and I've never bothered. I drive myself everywhere. I've never been on a bus for years. But the thing is, I know of several couples that I've seen with sandwiches and a flask and do the whole day over 60s.
Well, outside COVID, that would be fine, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, yes, but they see, they're still doing it. They're not taking the COVID into consideration. They're still doing it because they're bored and they're getting out.
So, in your view, is that legitimate?
Yes, I think if you find, if somebody looks into it, you'll find it's the older people that's doing the joyriding.
Should they be doing it, though, Wilf?
No, of course not. Not at the moment. But they should be doing it, if you like, or they're entitled to do it because they've got a bus pass when we've got no COVID.
But at the moment, it's not specifically outlawed. Nobody said don't do it at the moment. So do you think somebody in government should be saying that?
I would say so, yes. I would say check it out.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for calling.
All right.
Let's go to Cherry now. Hello, Cherry. Good afternoon.
Hello. I just thought I'd let you know that the bubble has worked marvellously for me because, as you know, I live on my own and my granddaughter was able to come and bubble with me on Saturday and help me out a bit.
How did you feel when she walked through the door, Cherry?
Well, she phoned me the night before because she works at the 111, so she knew she'd be allowed to. And she said, I'm coming to see you tomorrow. And she'd spoken to my son and her brother and said, I'll be the one bubbling with Nana. And they agreed, because it can only be one family that can do it. And it was lovely, because I'd been in hospital, as you know. I'd been on my own nearly, well, for months and months, because we'd had three lockdowns. And it was lovely seeing her and her partner and children for an hour. So
well,
I just
hope
people don't abuse it.
And when will you be seeing her again?
I would imagine at the weekend. But, you know, I hope people don't abuse it and it gets stopped, because there are people like me that are on their own and it's nice to have that contact.
Okay. All the best, Cherry. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to David now on the Man in Line. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, Andy. Just quickly, I just want to back up Steve. And I was in Parliament when Mr. Mulcahy was in there. I remember voting because it was really controversial regarding the horse cars itself. That's before we actually, the government took them over. But I remember the money was allocated to go right to the sea terminal with passing loops. And I don't know where Mr. Baker's coming from. It needs to be investigated, because at the end of the day, it's public money. Public money has got to be expended, which Timbald willed for. If it didn't will for, or it didn't happen, it should go back into the kitty as such and be spent somewhere else. But in my recollection, in my time there, up to 2016, towards the end of that anyway, it was a single track down there to the sea terminal, because there was a lot of members unhappy about the situation where they were going to stop it. And why would you stop it? And it's crazy now, because there's no summer. I'm sorry for those hoteliers, but there's no summer for them. So crack on with the job. Get it finished. 2022, celebrate.
Do you think there's an undercurrent, though? And I get messages all the time from people saying there are politicians who just want rid of the horse trams.
There were, even in my time, I would think about 30% of them did want it, didn't see the value in it. I couldn't understand at the very beginning when the argument was used that it was part of the holiday experience for the Isle of Man. It was the horse cars, the trains, and the trams. And I suppose slowly I got into that. It was an experience if people come here. And what, like you say, we've learned our lessons in the past. Once you lose that heritage, you lost it to going to Peel and then up to Ramsey, that'll never come back. And building bridges and viaducts for just push bikes, I think they want all their heads testing.
Okay. David, thanks for calling.
Bye.
It's 5 to 1 on Manx Radio. The man in line is on Monday to Friday from 12 through till 1. How would listeners want the Isle of Man government to react in the event of a serious UK winter flu epidemic in the future in terms of border control and social restrictions, says John in Castletown. A message in that just says, take away the free bus travel during lockdown. It's only the free surfers who will be doing joyriding of the buses. If they had to pay for it, they wouldn't do it. The simple fact is, just get rid of, suspend the free bus travel during COVID. But what about people who are using it properly? What do you do then? How do 40-plus bus drivers get told to isolate? What are they doing? Kissing each other, says Jay. I don't think they're kissing each other. Why don't they provide hand sanitizers near the doors of the buses to be used by everyone before using contactless payments, says Dean. That's it for The Man in Line. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Back tomorrow, 12 midday. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.